Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubin.
Kurt Erickson with the Washington Regional Alcohol Program, our guest this morning. We're going to talk about drinking and driving as we approach the New Year's Eve holiday. Kurt, good morning. Good to have you with us again.
Ted, happy holidays. Thanks for having us on.
Happy holidays to you. You've been a regular here and appreciate just the really good information that you provide. Before we get going here, probably good to talk about the good work of the Washington Regional Alcohol Program. You're based in Northern Virginia. You've been around for a while.
Yeah, actually, you beat me to the punch. I was going to say, don't let the first word fool you. We're actually a Northern Virginia-based charitable organization that's been around since 1982. And I think if people know us at all through the work that we do in terms of fighting drunk driving and underage drinking, it's probably through a free cab ride service that we've done since 1993 called Sober Ride, which over 63,000 people have taken advantage of simply in the last 22 years as opposed to driving home drunk. And, of course, we offer it on varying holidays. And, of course, we're in the middle of that period right now where it is our busiest time. We started back on December 11th, and we're running this free cab ride service nightly through and including New Year's Eve.
Let's talk about Sober Ride right now. We'll mention it again as we go along this morning because it's an important program. It doesn't include this area, but it can include this area.
That's right. People can get a ride home back in the area. The restrictions are minimal for this program. They have to be that the calls have to originate in the greater Washington area, which in terms of Northern Virginia, we define as Fairfax, Loudoun, Prince William, and Arlington. But it will take you outside of those areas. So if you live in Stafford County, or if you live in Howard County in Maryland, you can get a ride out of the Washington metropolitan area and get it home. We'll pay up to a $30 fare. If your fare is $35, we'll still pay for the first 30. You're simply on the hook for the remaining five. But it's a program that, like I said, it's been around since 1993. Restrictions are geographical, as I mentioned. We pay up to a $30 fare. The average fare for the program is less than $22, however, and you have to be of legal drinking age in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia to use it, which, of course, is age 21. Other than that, I mean, boy, we offer this. You know, we start it every night at 10, and we end at 6 a.m., so for 8 consecutive hours. So if you think in the District of Columbia, which has the latest last call of anywhere in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, and it can be as late as 4 a.m., you still have 2 hours to avail yourselves of this local life-saving program rather than possibly driving home impaired.
What a great deal, because you just don't want to take the chance for a number of reasons.
Well, you're absolutely right. When you and I have had the good fortune of talking about these number of reasons, but one of the things is, and it doesn't matter whether you're in D.C., Maryland, Virginia, the laws differ slightly, but generally, you're talking about up to a $2,500 fine for a first offense DUI. You can have your license taken away for a year for a first-time DUI, and you can be in jail for a year as well for a first-time DUI. Plus, Virginia, as you and I have talked in years past, has done a pretty amazing job of cracking down on drunk drivers in terms of penalties, in terms of legislation that's now become law. And Virginia now is one of 25 states that, boy, it doesn't matter whether it's your first offense or your 31st offense, and it doesn't matter your blood alcohol concentration level, you get convicted now of a DUI in the Commonwealth of Virginia, you're going to have one of those in-car breathalyzers installed in your car, those ignition interlock devices, which are great and provenly effective to combat drunk driving. But how embarrassing is that, to try to have one of those things in your car? And you have to have it for a minimum of 6 months. And by the way, if you ever fail, if ever senses that there's alcohol in your breath, not only will it prevent you from operating your car, the clock starts again. So then you have another 6 months, according to DMV, to have this apparatus on your vehicle.
Wait, when you talk about embarrassing, how embarrassing is that? If you're driving with someone, you hop in the car and you've got to do that.
You know, I'm hoping that it's embarrassing enough to be a deterrent. The fact of the matter is that whatever the consequences are right now of having it do work. I mean, states that have had it, according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, they estimate that there's a drop of 50 to 90% drop in DUI recidivism while the devices are in the car. In addition, states that have had it longer, and again, there's 25 states that have this, the states that have had it longer, like New Mexico and Arizona, have seen drops in their alcohol-related traffic fatalities by 40 and 45%, respectively. And so, and the best part about all of this is these are 100% offender paid penalties. It still allows the offender to still go to his or her job, to go to his or her church, to go to his or her daughter or son's softball game, baseball game, what have you. They just can't do it after drinking. It's the beauty of the device, and it doesn't come with a taxpayer consequence of having to fund it, because again, the $60 to $80 per month of what costs for these devices is 100% borne by the offender.
Did I write it down right that you said the fine for a first-time offender could reach up to $25,000?
Oh, it could be up to
$2,500.
But when you add up all of the things in terms of paying your bail, insurance rate increases, getting your car towed, hiring an attorney, in Virginia specifically, the Thomas Jefferson Area Criminal Justice Board annually tabulates these figures every year, and they estimate that a first-time DUI, by the time you add up all of the costs, can be anywhere between $5,000 and $20,000. That's significant.
Wow. That's got to make you think.
I would hope so. But again, if not that, then the prospective jail time. And I should mention this too. Virginia is actually one of the states that if you have certain BAC levels, if you're driving twice the legal limit, God forbid, and you're convicted of a DUI, you're looking at mandatory jail time. So this, again, it doesn't matter if it's your first offense. It doesn't matter if your excuse is, you know, I was at my daughter's wedding. I had one glass of champagne too many. You're convicted of a DUI at the 0.15 or higher BAC levels, again, twice the legal limit, which is not unusual. The average BAC for persons arrested for drunk driving in Virginia is actually 0.14, so it's almost twice the legal limit. So when people think, well, that's the exception to the rule, no, the average blood alcohol concentration is these nearly twice the legal limit. So these people aren't just having one drink too many. They're having many drinks too many. And now they're going to be looking at the perspective of mandatory incarceration, again, even if it's their first offense.
And besides that, some of the side things, if you have to do either some kind of community service or things like that, there's a time commitment.
Oh, absolutely. Time, money, societal embarrassment. But don't forget, one of the things that I think resonates with the group that any anti-drunk driving group is trying to reach, the 21 to 35-year-old male audience. Again, that's the group that's overrepresented in fatal car crashes where alcohol was a factor. It's the group that has the highest blood alcohol concentration level. So if you think about it as a bell curve, on top of that curve are these 21 to 35-year-old male risk takers. And by the way, it is still a male-dominated crime. 77% of those arrested for drunk driving, at least in Virginia, are men. And that's pretty representative of other states as well as national figures. It's slowly changing, but make no mistake about it. It's a male-dominated crime. And so the fact of the matter is that you've got to make sure that whatever the consequence that we try to reach people with through programs like Checkpoint Strike Force and others resonates with them. And unfortunately, sometimes it's not the economic consequences. Sometimes it's not jail time. They don't think it's going to apply to them. And boy, they don't think that they're going to harm themselves. But what they have thought of as a consequence, and I don't say this anecdotally, we actually poll 21 to 35-year-old male drivers in the state. They think the killing or harming of someone else is the number one consequence that they fear in terms of drunk driving, which is why when we've done, RAP serves as the project director of Virginia's Checkpoint Strike Force campaign, that in recent years, the theme of that campaign is going to be, are you going to kill someone tonight? Because again, they don't think about societal embarrassment, they don't think about the cost, but boy, they do fear killing or harming their girlfriend, boyfriend, little brother, little sister in a car, or somebody else. That seems to resonate.
I was just going to ask you with that group, because a lot of times when you deal with teenagers, they feel invincible. Obviously, then, with the 21 to 35, there is still is that thought and there's that concern about harming or killing someone.
That's absolutely right. But we tried a different tack this year, and we're running about 70,000 ads. RAP serves as, even though we're a mighty three-person big charitable organization, we serve as the project director of Virginia's Checkpoint Strike Force campaign, which is an elevation of enforcement efforts around the state to identify and apprehend drunk drivers, but then a prevention effort as well through a public education campaign of which we're running, and I'm hoping that your listeners have seen and heard, because we're certainly running it around the state, but 70,000 TV ads and 14,000 radio ads that are elevating celebrating designated drivers as being beautiful. In fact, the whole ad is as somebody, a gentleman at a bar that's got a ride home, and isn't that a beautiful thing, rather than him driving himself. And it's a pretty strategic effort, again, trying to reach the 21 to 35-year-olds that said they actually say that they will use a designated driver, that that's their number one way that they will get home to ensure safety. Only 48% of them regularly plan that. And too often it's the group or it's the person in the group that had the least amount to drink. And, boy, that's not a designated driver at all. A designated driver is a designated sober driver. And so the whole theme of this year's campaign is that whether it be an individual or a cab operator, or a transportation network company, or a transit operator, that these are all beautiful designated drivers because they're getting their friends or patrons home safely.
We're going to talk more about Checkpoint Strikeforce. In fact, listeners here heard commercials this morning for that. So, yes, they are in this area. Kurt Erickson with the Washington Regional Alcohol Program here this morning. RAP.org, if you want to find out more about what the organization does. When we come back, we're going to talk more about Checkpoint Strikeforce and how you can be involved in help out the work of RAP. Kurt Erickson here for the full hour. More on Town Talk this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Kurt Erickson with us with the Washington Regional Alcohol Program. You mentioned, Kurt, in the last segment how there's three of you in the office with the work that you do and the kind of the media presence you had. I would have guessed that there's a lot more people involved there.
That's a kind thought, but yeah, it is only three people. So RAP is we're a 501c3, so we're a charitable organization, but we have a total staff of three. We're based in Tyson's Corner area. Like I said, been around since 1982. I only underscore all of these points for where you may be headed, which is with the single digit days of this year just in play. That if anybody's looking to make a tax deductible donation, we'd welcome it. Every program that we've ever talked about has been free, including Sober Eye, but also all the programs that we do in area schools and workplaces and so forth. But we would welcome people's consideration of us as a repository. And I think we're a responsible repository of people's donations, and the fact that we're an organization that spends literally 3.2% of our total funding on administration and fundraising, which is just an unheard of low level. United Way doesn't want to work with charities that spend more than 35%. We spend 3.2%. So we're an extremely lean organization, pride ourselves on that, but also pride ourselves on the fact that we're hopefully making a difference in terms of drunk driving incidents, specifically in this area and throughout Virginia, being on a downward trajectory, which is a good thing.
RAP.org, again, is the website. All kinds of information there, a lot of education. What caught my eye when I was looking over it this weekend, that not only do you have programs for, you have youth programs, you have adult programs, because a lot of times you think about, well, for education, you're going to just need that. You want to educate kids, but as you've talked about before this morning, the 21 to 35 year olds and just dealing with adults, unfortunately, everyone needs education on this.
I mean, yeah, we're focusing on 21 to 35-year-old adults for our Checkpoint Strikeforce campaign, but adults in general. I mean, I think it surprises people that to this day, traffic crashes are still the number one killer of U.S. employees. So the ability to bring a traffic safety message into the workplace, and we do that through both a program that we call Safe and Vital Employees, where we're bringing up educating employees on the dangers of impaired driving on both a personal and a professional level. And we also publish with our partner GEICO a couple of publications that are both free on our website and also hard copies that we can send for free. One's called our Corporate Guide, which is I think equally a 16-page publication on areas. Impaired driving laws, facts, statistics, party tips, things of that sort. And then we do the same thing for a youth guide, which is to try to keep youth safe in terms of underage drinking, to make sure that they understand the laws, because they can differ between D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, but to know exactly what the consequences are to underage drinking in each of those localities.
Well, that's a good something good to know, too, because around here, you may be going up to the Maryland suburbs. You may be going up to D.C. You may think you know what the laws are in Virginia, but once you cross those state lines, it changes.
Oh, absolutely. And then, like I said, as much as all states, including the District of Columbia, including all U.S. territories, have the same blood alcohol concentration limit by which to be charged with drunk driving, that being a .08, meaning that if you have a .08 in any locality, you're going to be charged with a DUI. But the fact of the matter is that the laws can be extremely different. Virginia, as an example, as much as we'd like it to have it, doesn't have primary seatbelt bill. There's not a drunk driving organization in the world. It's not for seatbelts. It's knowing that they're really, at the end of the day, they're your best defense against a drunk driver. But Maryland and the District of Columbia, clearly, they can cite you and pull you over for not wearing a seatbelt. Virginia doesn't have an open container law, meaning that, unfortunately, to this day, it's still legal to drive with an open container of alcohol in your vehicle. Now, you can't consume from it, and law enforcement can't see you consume from it. But it is, unfortunately, lawful to this day. And, by the way, every year that Virginia doesn't have this law because of federal sanctions, it moves $14 million from highway construction or out of highway construction to other areas of the state budget as a penalty. Conversely, Maryland doesn't have the ignition airlock laws that Virginia has, and D.C. Doesn't have the ignition interlocks. In fact, whereas Virginia has about 8,000 persons on these proven effective in-car breathalyzers, D.C. only has 9 persons on this. So the laws can be extremely different, but the fact of the matter is it's good to know what those are, like you said, so that it's such a transient, you know, community where somebody could live in Virginia, work in D.C., and dine in Maryland all in the same day, and it's important to know the distinguished differences in terms of DUI laws.
Besides the open container that you just mentioned, are there other things in Virginia that you'd like to see done? I know in the past when we've talked, you've said overall, as far as DUI goes, Virginia's been on the ball and has some pretty tough laws.
No, and that's exactly right. And I don't want to make sure I don't miss that point. The fact of the matter is that most organizations, national or otherwise, would give Virginia the traditional 5 stars for DUI legislation, with that 5th star coming in 2012 when it made all offender interlock the law of the land, meaning that all persons convicted of a DUI now in the Commonwealth of Virginia, regardless of your BAC level, now are mandated to have ignition interlock devices installed in their vehicle. And they really have the majority of other laws, but it's primary seatbelt, which they've never had, and the open container. Primary seatbelt, it's just a concern. Like I said, you hear that it's your best defense against a drunk driver, and I suppose that's said so often that it's almost trite, but really the bottom line is that the routine wearing of seatbelts is the single most effective measure to reduce crash-related deaths and injuries. That's why we feel so strongly about it, and why we wish Virginia had it. But that said, the majority of DUI laws Virginia has, which means that the future of combating drunk driving is probably going to be less in the state house than it is going to be in the courthouse in Virginia, to make sure that the penalties that they have before them are fully implemented, like the ignition interlock being required for all parties.
Kurt Erickson here with the Washington Regional Alcohol Program, RAP.org, if you want to jump online and see what they do and maybe become a regular donor for them or give them a year-end gift, RAP.org. Get a hold of Kurt Erickson's organization. Kurt, with New Year's Eve approaching, how important is it if, say, you hear friends talking, you hear people at work talking about parties, to confront somebody and just ask them in a non-confrontational kind of way, hey, you know, are you going to have a designated driver? Are you going to stay over? Just to ask people and to get that thought in their mind.
You know, it's extremely important. And this is the reason why that 31% at any time during the year, 31% of all traffic fatalities are alcohol-related. That's in the U.S. In Virginia, unfortunately, it's a little bit more. It's 36% of all traffic fatalities are alcohol-related. When you start getting to New Year's Eve, you have a figure that's nearly half, 48% of all traffic deaths that occur over New Year's in this country are caused by drivers that had been drinking. It's a significant uptick in risk. And even if you have every confidence in your own ability to go, look, I'm not drinking, I'm not going to a party, that's great, but unfortunately your confidence doesn't extend to the next driver. And so therefore there's things that we encourage all people to do to try to stay safe. Obviously, like we said, wearing your seatbelt. But there's other things. One of the things that they can do is to report drunk drivers. And I don't think this gets emphasized enough, especially with Virginia having a system of #77 that the state police utilize and encourage people to use should they think that they're sharing a roadway with a suspected drunk driver, is that if you can safely dial #77 on your wireless phone, you can be an extra set of eyes. And unfortunately, this is necessary, is the fact that there are more drunk drivers on Virginia's roadways than there are men and women in uniform looking for them. So an extra set of eyes could be not only crucial, it can be actually life-saving in terms of getting a would-be drunk driver or a drunk driver off of Virginia's roadways.
Well, those statistics, so for New Year's Eve makes I hear those and I think any plans that I have to go out, you kind of want to rethink some of that.
Well, and like you said, it's one of with designating a driver, it's one of the things that you don't have to rely on government funding or a specific program that's in place. Anybody can do it. Again, we've got a whole campaign that's really heralding these folks as beautiful because they are. They're getting people home safely. And I think the hospitality community throughout the Commonwealth is recognizing this as well, and the fact that they're offering free admission for the designated driver, free sodas throughout the night. Sometimes they'll even give them free admission next time they come because they know that the role of the designated driver in a lot of groups rotates, that it's not just one person, that it's a role that rotates. So, again, we really would love to have people do nothing else besides doing that. But I suppose other things that they could do if they're going to be in the D.C. area, they can program our sober ride number into their phone, which is, again, 1-800-200-TAXI, T-A-X-I, so that if they're in the greater Washington area or in Northern Virginia and they want to get home safely, and again, we offer this till 6 a.m. after New Year's Eve. So on New Year's Day, the first 6 hours, you can avail yourselves of the free cab service sober ride so that they can utilize this if they need it, or give the number to somebody else. Somebody else may be, as much as I think the number is easy to remember, I suppose if you're in your cups and it's 2:30, that it may not be that easy to remember. So if you can program it into your phone before you go out, that's probably a good thing.
1-800-200-TAXI for sober ride. Kurt Erickson here. We're going to circle back around. We are going to talk again about Checkpoint Strike Force, and also we'll get into some party tips, too, to help you out with that. Kurt Erickson here with the Washington Regional Alcohol Program. More on Town Talk this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Kurt Erickson, our guest with the Washington Regional Alcohol Program. One thing we haven't talked about, Kurt, is the statistics and how we're doing with DUI. How's it look?
Well, I mean, nationally, fatalities have gone down in 2014, which is a great thing, although they went down marginally by 1%. Virginia experienced a pretty similar trend, a little less than 1%. Again, that's good news. Virginia's had a number of consecutive years of downward trending DUI fatalities, but unfortunately, that's not necessarily extending to all parts of the state. For instance, whereas alcohol-related traffic crashes are down in Fredericksburg, they're down in King George County. In fact, they're down significantly in King George County by 43%. Actually, alcohol-related injuries are up in Fredericksburg. They're up by a double-digit figure. And still to this day, you have more than one person injured in a DUI crash every single week in Fredericksburg. So anybody that's willing to wave the victory flag saying that Virginia's fight against drunk driving, it can't be more wrong. And the fact that you have a state that annually has nearly 25,000 DUI convictions, annual convictions, and that's just convictions, by the way. That's not arrests. Our work is far from done.
No, and it's heartbreaking when you see the stories of either the injuries or the fatalities. It changes families forever.
Well, and especially when you realize that every single drunk driving fatality, crash, arrest, an injury is 100% preventable. I mean, this is a public health issue that doesn't have, a predisposition or environmental factors or anything of that sort. We should be able to lick this. Virginia is certainly on the right path, but these number of annual convictions, again, the exact number is 24,895 last year, shows that we've got a lot more work to do.
And you've done statistics, I know, in the past that where you talk about look around your neighborhood and just the people in your neighborhood statistically that they could be victims in their lifetime.
Yeah, well, it's two things. One is the fact that the randomness of drunk driving. I think people think that it's just drunk drivers that are killed or injured or so forth, when in fact a third of drunk driving victims are non-intoxicated drivers, non-intoxicated passengers, or non-intoxicated pedestrians. But then also, as you said, the randomness. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration estimates that at least 1 in 3 people will be directly impacted by drunk driving at some point in their life. So if you live in a neighborhood, walk out your front door, look to your left, to your right, or your own house, and the odds are that 1 of the 3 of you are going to be directly impacted by this unfortunately preventable killer.
And because it's preventable, and when it does happen, and it's horrible. It's horrible to know what families and extended families and friends face over something that is preventable.
Well, unfortunately, you had 253 families last year, just in Virginia alone, that know this all too well, especially during the holiday season, which we're constantly reminded of in terms of the victims that we work with and that other groups work with, that when you have an empty seat at that table, that is if not life-changing event.
Yeah. One of the things that local law enforcement is involved in is these DUI checks. And I know in Spotsylvania, in the city of Fredericksburg, they have DMV grants and go out and conduct these. I've been out on them, and it's amazing to see, because without fail, everyone who they smell alcohol will always tell the officer, "I've had just 1 or 2 drinks."
It's just an unbelievable stereotype, having staffed a number of these, when in fact, when you find that out, it's a lot more than one or two beers. And again, we're not an anti-alcohol or an anti-drinking organization. We are, however, unequivocally an anti-drunk driving organization. Law enforcement know what to look for, and they know what operations work best. And one of the things that works best in Virginia is sobriety checkpoints. And it's actually less my opinion than it is groups like the Insurance Institute, which is also Virginia-based, in Rutgersville, the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, that have studied the efficacy of sobriety checkpoints and found out that if they're done well, they can reduce drunk driving fatalities by as much as 20%. And there's also a prevention methodology to these as well. And the fact that sometimes you'll see a sobriety checkpoint going on and then the arrests are published the next day and they'll say they had 0 arrests. That's a great thing. That if you can get voluntary compliance by having a very, big, brash, brazen anti-DUI effort, that's a great thing. Just to give you an example, Fairfax County, as an example, they don't only count the number of vehicles going through a sobriety checkpoint. They'll lay wires down against the opposite lane of traffic, just for those people that have seen a sobriety checkpoint, and hoping that those people that are going out for that evening or going out later in the week will think twice and hopefully designate a driver or find some alternative safe way home.
I have seen, I've been with the Spotsylvania Sheriff's Office, where they've done it on Lafayette Boulevard, which is heavily traveled a lot of times late at night. I've also been on where they've been out by Lake Anna, which is fairly rural. And in both cases, they've said they both are effective. Even by picking a rural area, it shows that you never know when one of these is going to pop up.
Well, and there's 2 points about that. One, that when you do it in a rural area, what you're saying, what law enforcement are saying, is that you're closing off what's perceived to be an escape route to a DUI by people taking rural roads home, when in fact, nationally, the majority of DUI crashes are not happening on urban roadways. I think people think of drunk driving as kind of an urban crime, when in fact, the majority of drunk driving crashes are actually happening on this country's rural roadways.
As far as New Year's Eve, obviously, is an obvious one. I know you've said in the past that Super Bowl Sunday has become another kind of de facto holiday where you got to watch out for drunk driving.
Oh, it is absolutely a concern on Super Bowl Sunday. Really no different than for either St. Patrick's Day or Halloween. Halloween, I think, surprises a lot of people, but that's really morphed into one of the leading drunk driving holidays, as it's kind of morphed from, a children-centric holiday to now an adult an alcohol-centric holiday, which is one of the reasons that we do our Soberite program not just on New Year's Eve, but actually the 3 weeks leading up to New Year's Eve, but then we'll next do it on St. Patrick's Day. We had an inaugural Cinco de Mayo program that we did this year that we'll be doing again next year. We'll do it on July 4th, and we'll do it on Halloween, and then again starting next December. So 5 times a year we're recognizing, and, those are just the leading holidays in terms of drunk driving. I think, there was a wish that we could do this all of the time, but our Soberite program, I think whereas we've done a good job of institutionalizing it, and people think that, you know, it's been around, it must be some government entity that's behind it. It's not. It's a three-person charity that actually pays for the rides, upwards of $40,000 to $50,000 annually just for the taxi fares alone. So whereas it's free for the user, behind the scenes there's a charitable organization that actually pays the bills for this, which was why we limit it to the number of times that we do a year that we offer it.
Well, we're fortunate to have the Washington Regional Alcohol Program around here. Are there other groups like yours that do similar things in other parts of the country, or are we really unique in this?
Well, we are somewhat unique. There are certainly other worthy groups that have similar missions in other parts of the country, but there are not any other affiliates, officially or unofficially, of the Washington Regional Alcohol Program. But I think that, you know, our organization was started back in 1982 with a lot of folks that were affiliated with the then Capital Center off of the 495 Beltway, which realized that on an evening when it could have 20,000 fans watching the then Bullets, or I don't even know if we had hockey back then, prior to hockey, that you could unleash 20,000 persons onto a major interstate, perhaps that had been drinking.
Yeah.
And so that's the origination of this group. And then the issue, you know, the mission has maintained itself, especially when the fact that we've only grown as a region, but unfortunately so too is this issue of drunk driving.
Yeah. Well, that's I never heard that story. Yeah. The Capital Center, I think that's not even up anymore. I think that they brought that down.
And what you have in its place, obviously, is the downtown Verizon Center.
Yes.
A little bit smaller in scope, but the fact of the matter is you have so many ways to get there that don't include driving, including walking, including cabs, including Uber, including public transportation, that really helps to address the issue of drunk driving. Similarly, as Metro is addressing drunk driving, one of our partners, MillerCoors, is actually paying for the entire Metro system on New Year's Eve, actually New Year's Day, between midnight and 3 a.m., anybody can get a ride in the Metro system no matter where it goes until 3 a.m., which is a great means of aiding in this fight and will probably be as a great means to helping in our civil rights effort, although we probably need to underscore that we will pick people up at Metro stations. So even if they get a ride home, if they're in D.C., but they're taking the line as far as Reston, as an example, with the new Silver Line that's out there, but now they need to get to Stafford, that they can close that divide by utilizing SilverAid, getting a SilverAid pickup at the Reston station and having that actually take you home.
Okay, good. That's a good word there. Well, I remember the days when SilverAid was pretty much you did SilverAid on New Year's Eve, and we didn't hear much from you the rest of the year as far as that kind of thing. A lot of the education, and as some of these holidays become associated more and more with drinking, unfortunately, your work and workload increases.
Well, and we've seen our sober ridership go up accordingly. The last campaign we had was Halloween. We had a 48% increase in ridership. Before that was July 4th. We had a 49% increase in ridership. Again, the program is only as good as people utilize it. I'd hate to have anybody get into a situation that threatens their safety or somebody else simply because they didn't know about it. And again, we're offering this nightly between now and New Year's Eve, and we're offering it till 6 a.m., and it's available through a free call. When you realize all of those things, I can't think of a single excuse that somebody could render to say, no, I just thought it'd be a better idea to get behind the wheel of my own car and drive home after drinking, when in fact you've got the safety net that's out there that we'd like people to take advantage of.
Right. 1-800-200-TAXI. 1-800-200-TAXI. And as you mentioned, program that into your phone because you may not be able to remember it when you need to.
Exactly.
And even though you may be a Stafford resident, you may be a resident in the city or King George or Spotsylvania, if you're in Prince William or even Fairfax, you may be paying a little bit of extra, but the first $30 of that will be covered.
Or if you're in any of those areas and you're attending a party or hosting a New Year's party, as so many people will. I mean, a lot of these areas that we're trying to wrestle with in terms of making SilverAid available are private functions. And so, you know, we want people to plan ahead, designate a driver, use alternative transportation if they can. But if they're hosting a party, I mean, you know not to serve anyone who appears to be impaired and never serving minors. But then there's things that you may not think about, like doing what stadiums and ballparks do throughout the region, which is to close the bar at least an hour before your events end. again. You hear about designating a driver. We also encourage people to designate a bartender. Don't let guests mix their own drinks. And as we've already mentioned, wear a seatbelt if you're going out, even if you have every confidence in your own ability not to drink and drive. Unfortunately, that doesn't extend to the other drivers on the roadways and some that may have been drinking. So wear, buckle up, and then report drunk drivers. If you're in D.C. and Maryland, that's 911, but in Virginia, it's got its own system. It's #77, that if you can safely dial #77, in the same vein, if you see something, say something, with other perils that are out there, drunk drivers are their own perils. Please report them if you suspect you're sharing a roadway with a suspected drunk driver.
Now, and the area police would beg you to do that because, unfortunately, they don't have the manpower to be watching everywhere.
Absolutely. And like I said, it can be a life-saving call.
#77, that is that in Virginia. 1-800-200-TAXI is the Sober Ride program. Kurt Erickson with the Washington Regional Alcohol Program with us. As we wrap this up, when we come back, we'll talk about some party tips, talk again about Sober Ride, and tie up a few other loose ends this morning on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We will be right back.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Kurt Erickson with the Washington Regional Alcohol Program with us this morning. Rap.org is where you can find them. As far as party tips, I know that there are things that people holding parties this week, Kurt, can do to help the situation.
I think there's lots of things that people can do. One is obviously never serve anyone who appears to be impaired. That may sound obvious, but it's worth underscoring. If you're hosting a party, serve food with alcohol. Don't just have alcohol be the only thing on the table. And specific foods, high-protein foods like meats and cheeses, they actually stay in the stomach longer, thereby slowing the body's alcohol absorption rate. If you're making a punch, use a non-carbonated base. And the reason I bring that up is that the body actually absorbs alcohol faster when mixed with carbonation. So use a non-carbonated base if you're serving an alcoholic punch. Serve non-alcoholic beverages. Never serve minors. And like we already said, designate a bartender. What a great safety valve that you can have to put in place that's almost equal to that of designating a driver is to don't let guests mix their own drinks, just simply as another safety means to ensure that your guests stay safe, not just that evening, but on their way home.
And that's the key. You don't want to hear about something either happening to your guests. You just don't want that.
No, not at all, and they don't want to hear it. Even if it's a DUI arrest, to have that, the call the next morning that, hey, I got arrested for a DUI, and as the stat we've already mentioned, that they could be looking at anywhere between $5,000 and $20,000 worth of costs that are associated with the DUI, specifically in Virginia, never mind the other consequences that can be up to a year in jail, having your license taken away for a year, and a straight-up penalty of $2,500 plus. As we've mentioned, is the fact that Virginia is one of 25 states that require, and by the way, it's not up to a judge's discretion or up to, it is a minimum mandatory penalty of getting an ignition and a lock device on your vehicle for a minimum of 6 months. So to every business meeting or driving your kids around or anybody else that borrows your car, you're going to have to blow into this device to actually get it to operate.
And as you've mentioned, Virginia's got some good DUI laws, but locally, and locally, the numbers in certain areas are good, but there still is reason for concern.
There is, but the fact of the matter is, overall, since 2001, alcohol-related injuries are down over 39% in Virginia. Alcohol-related fatalities are down in Virginia over 29%. We're not seeing, though, those great drops. Like, for instance, in 2014, Virginia experienced less than a 1% drop in alcohol-related traffic fatalities, and there was some indication that in the year that we're in right now, that 2015, that these actually may be going back upwards. So, unfortunately, we're seeing somewhat of a plateau effect, and it's not unique to Virginia. It's actually happening nationally as well, where you saw these great strides in the 80s and 90s of downward-trending DUI numbers. And unfortunately, they've become somewhat level, or in the fact that, give you an example, 36% to this day of all traffic deaths in Virginia are still caused by drunk drivers, so over a third. That number hasn't largely changed. So even though Virginia's population has changed, even though the overall number of crashes has changed, the percent that are attributable to drunk drivers really hasn't changed. And that's really the next nut to crack on this effort.
And boy, the number that you gave was frightening earlier about just the number of drunk drivers on the road that will be on the road Thursday night, Friday morning.
Oh, it's 48% of all traffic deaths on New Year's Eve, are in this country at least, are caused by drivers that have been drinking. So nearly half. I don't know if that's, you know, it's probably not surprising as much as it's somewhat disheartening, especially when you realize you have all these other alternatives by which to get home, including, by the way, it doesn't have to be transportation related. It can be spending the night at the destination that you're going. That's something that a good host could do, too, is to ensure the safety of an overnight stay. But then you have areas, like you said, if it's not taxi cabs specifically, it can be transportation network companies, whether that be Uber or Lyft. It can be individuals. A lot of people have become a designated driver on their own right and just ensure their safety. And it's as much as that sounds magnanimous to do, to be frank about it, there's probably a little selfishness to do it because we're all sharing these roadways with drunk drivers. So who wouldn't want to get rid of a drunk driver on a roadway that you know you're going to be on, if not for their safety, then your own?
Right. 1-800-200-TAXI is Sober Ride. And again, explain how Sober Ride works.
It's a very easy program. So 10 p.m. until 6 a.m. every night through and including New Year's Eve. If you're celebrating with alcohol and you're in the greater Washington area, which we define as Montgomery County and Prince George's County in Maryland, anywhere in the District of Columbia, and then in Northern Virginia, specifically Arlington, Eastern Loudoun, Prince William, or Fairfax County, that you can dial 1-800-200-TAXI, T-A-X-I, and be afforded a safe and a sober way home. We will take people outside of that area. So we will take them to Frederick County northward, and we will take them to King George County southward. We'll simply pay up to the first $30. But if your fare is $40, we'll still pay for the first 30. You're simply going to be on the hook for the remaining 10. And by the way, we contract 9 different cab companies around the Beltway to do this. So it's the cab company that's closest to you. So that, for instance, if you're in, if you're in Manassas and you're trying to get a cab company, it might be Northern Virginia Checker Cab or Yellow Cab or Prince William County that will be actually dispatched to you just to make sure that we're getting the cab closest to you to get you home quickly and safely.
Rap.org is where you can find all kinds of information. And again, it's you're a 501c3. And if someone wants to make a donation and get involved with the work that you do, check out rap.org. Kurt Erickson with the Washington Regional Alcohol Program. Kurt, Happy New Year. Thank you for this information. We will stay in touch with you throughout the 2016.
Ted, you too.
Here.
Thank you so much, Kurt. And again, thanks for this good information. Again, Happy New Year. That is it for Town Talk. Thanks for listening this morning. See you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFPA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.